Psalm 46 is where we left off last week, but we're going to finish up in this chapter. Lesson 9 from the Psalms. I've been pondering this for several weeks and looking at this passage of Scripture and meditating on it and asking the Lord how He's used it in my life, helping me remember the things that He has done in my life related to this verse. Searched back through some quiet time journals and saw some refreshing truths that the Lord taught me years ago but continues to teach me today. But the question is, do you learn more during the storms or during stillness? And I've asked that question over and over and over. When do I learn the most from God in my relationship with Him? During the times of a storm, a trial, a test, a difficult time? Or do I learn more in times of stillness? A few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that God has a cure for a lonely soul. And part of the cure for a lonely soul is there are times of silence when it's as though God is not speaking, but yet we've learned that when He's silent, He's communicating very clearly. We have to discern then, what is He trying to get my attention about? Why is He doing this at this point? We've talked about the pain of silence. There are other times when we're silent, and it's because we're going through a difficult time. Something has come up in our life we've never really resolved. It brings deep pain. But how do we walk through that time? As we read last week, that God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. But this week, verse 10 of Psalm 46 states, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Now, there's a lot of background to this particular passage. But as I contemplated in my own life, when do I learn the most? Is it a time when I'm being still, or is it in the midst of the storm? You ever been through a great storm? Well, I know you have hurricanes. But have you been through a personal storm? Maybe it's been recently. Maybe it's been years ago. For my life, I remember times that were I would consider Category 5 storms. I also remember other times when it was just a thunderstorm. How about you? But a great many years ago, I went through a Category 5, and it was a deep, troubling time for me. And I began to ponder, did I learn as much during the midst of that storm as I did when the storm was over? Now, there's all kinds of reasonings, but we need to know from God the truth of His Word. But on the same hand, you need to meditate on a scripture like this and ask God personally to help you be still, at least after the storm, so that you can know Him. I remember a few years ago when I was traveling, I flew to Portland, Oregon. And the plane took off in the middle of the afternoon from Atlanta, Georgia. And I was flying into Portland, Oregon, then was going to, a pastor would meet me at the airport and take me to his church. I was leading a conference for several associations there, and then I was going to be speaking at his church that weekend. About halfway to Portland, the pilot comes on the intercom, and he says, "An ice storm has developed in Portland. It just started sleeting." And because of the position we're in and the other weather around the area, we're going to have to land there. And there's between an inch and 2 inches of sleet on the runway. Well, that was pleasant. That was a great note here. So here we are. We've got another 45 minutes of flight. We get to Portland. And I was amazed. I mean, we hit the tarmac, the runway, pretty hard, and no problem. It's just like a normal landing. We went to the terminal, and I was waiting for the pastor to meet me. Well, he couldn't get there. He was driving from 2 hours away, and there was ice on all the interstates. But the problem was, this was a time when he didn't have a cell phone, and I had no way to contact him. It was now 10 o'clock at night. I was still waiting. There were very few people left in the airport because they were shutting it down. Everybody who had landed, they had put in any hotel room close by they could put in a hotel room. There were no rooms left. And I'm waiting for a pastor to meet me, whom I have never met before. I don't know what he looks like. And next thing you know, it was midnight. Pastor's not there. And finally, a guy walks in. I thought I would be sleeping at the airport that night. And he's in camouflage coveralls. He said, Kerry, my name's Joe Martin. I'm the pastor where you're going to speak. I thought, who is this guy? He said, I had to dress this way because it's cold. I didn't know what I'd get into. And he said, I've been slipping and sliding trying to get here. And I said, well, Joe, that, you know, they've made announcements here that they've shut the interstate down. I said, we need to try to find a place to stay the night here. Oh, no, we can make it. So we get in the car. I'm to speak the next morning. And we get in at 4 a.m. Now, I will tell you, there was a storm going on not only outside, but inside the car. Because I was very nervous. He was sliding all over that interstate. There were several times I thought we would make several loops. We finally got there. I got checked in the hotel, and it was very quiet. There was nobody there. Small town, right outside of Mount St. Helens area. And I got a call about 6 a.m. from him and said, Kerry, you know, this doesn't usually happen around here like this, but he said, we've had to cancel the service. I said, oh, great. And so I sat in the hotel room. He called later that afternoon. We had to cancel the evening service. There was nothing to do around there, a little small town. And I had to be quiet and still. And now I had to reflect upon, is God enough in this little small hotel room with no restaurants open, no food around, and he can't get back to the hotel? Now what happened next was very interesting. The next morning, there was a heat wave came through, and all the ice started melting, and the river started flooding, and it started raining. And he said, Kerry, you know this bridge right below the hotel here, this is the bridge that washed out when Mount St. Helens erupted, you know, and all the water came through here. And he said, it looks like that water's about to go over the bridge. And he said, I think we just need to cancel and reschedule. And I said, well, I want you to get me back to the airport now then. So we got in the car and we're headed back to Portland, about a 2 hour drive. And we're driving down the interstate, and on the left side of the road, the whole side of the mountain started sliding down. And I saw it coming. I mean, trees that were 40 and 50 feet tall, they're coming down, standing up, coming down the mountain. And just as we passed there, they came all the way across the other two lanes and halfway through the median and stopped. It was over 25 feet thick of mud. We made it to the Portland airport. Now, you know it's bad when you get to the Portland airport, and the Portland airport is built right behind a levee from the Columbia River. And the river was getting so full that they were evacuating the Air Force jets out of the airport. They were bringing 18-wheelers in, loading them up, getting them out of there. And tried to get a flight out, couldn't. So we spent the night there. And then I got a flight out first thing the next morning. It was the last flight out on the way home. Now, let me tell you, it was a difficult day. I went out there to speak because I thought that's where the Lord wanted me to be. But I was going through storms. I went through an ice storm, a rainstorm, a flood, and a mudslide, all in one trip. They swore they'd never ask me back again. But I did go back. I've been back with Joe about four times. It's a great church. But as I reflected on that, you know, when I was in the midst of the difficulty, right in the middle of the crisis, quite honestly, other than praying a prayer at the moment of I thought we were going to die or something, I wasn't thinking so much about God as I was thinking about safety. But when I got to a place when I got still, I could reflect on what had just happened. Now, God has taught me many things through storms, and I'm sure He has with you also. Even with the Lord Jesus, the book of Hebrews says, Jesus learned obedience by that which He suffered. But in the midst of the storm, many times, is not when the learning takes place. You remember the disciples on the boat. They were in the midst of the storm. They were worried about safety. When they really began to learn was when it got still. And they had time to reflect. Well, Oswald Chambers once said, we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on our difficulties. That is a critical thing. In the midst of the storm or the crisis, though, your main concern may be safety. When you pray, you've got to have your eyes on God, not on your difficulties. Because if your eyes are not on God and your concern is more on your difficulties, your prayer tends to be routine, not out of a deep personal relationship with the Lord. And so as I read this psalm, be still and know that I am God, I begin to reflect on what had just happened. You see in verse 9, he says, he makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. The new Holman Christian Standard Bible translation translates this verse like this. Stop your fighting and know that I am God. Now, he didn't necessarily mean fighting amongst one another. But all the wars, all the troubles that are going on around you, there's fighting. And there was a time where he called for the fact that God was able to cease the fighting. He's able to stop the wars. But when all of this storm is over, when the wars have ceased, now I want you to be still and know that I am God. Let me tell you what a tragedy would be. A tragedy would be to go through the storm, to survive the personal storm, and learn absolutely nothing. I mean, what's the use? And that's what happens with many people. They go through a storm, they get out of the storm, they get relaxed, they're safe now. And their focus goes back to themselves and their own personal life instead of focusing on, He is God. What did God just teach me in the midst of this storm? What did He lead me through? What did He want me to learn as I went through this storm? It's kind of like watching a sporting event. You can be watching your team and rooting for your team to win. and it could be down to 2 minutes and the score is tied and you're all tense and you're excited, you're anxious, you want the outcome to go your way, but you're really involved. Have you ever watched the game again after you knew the outcome? The struggle was over. The score was over. You knew who won. You're just watching it again. And there's not the same excitement. Now you can reflect upon it. It's when you're watching that exciting movie, you're real tense about it. What's going to happen here? But if you watch it a second or third time, you watch with different eyes. Why? You know the outcome. You know what's going to happen. I want you to know God knows the outcome of your storm. He's not confused about it. He's not disoriented. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're facing. And He is more than able to carry you through that storm. But wouldn't it be a tragedy that you go through the storm and stillness comes? A time when the fighting has ceased, the problem is over, and you're thinking about what just happened, and you miss what God was trying to teach you. You see, even James said, consider it all joy when trials come your way. Well, I'm telling you, when I'm usually in the middle of a trial, I'm not jumping up and down being real happy about it. Are you? But to consider it after it has happened, you can see the joy that could come out of a difficult situation. That God could take something terrible, stressful, tense, difficult, and He can turn it for good. I think for us, it is difficult for us to be still long enough to know that He is God. One of my mentors said this, that when he was about 7 years old, he went through an experience as a child of understanding more than he ever had before who God was. And he said it forever changed his life, because at that time he understood that God was God and he wasn't. And that's a great lesson to learn for us coming out of the storm. God is God and we are not. You are not going to be able to figure out all the details of a storm and know why it's there and everything that can be produced during the midst of that storm. But God can. But when you hear from Him is when you get still enough that you're not distracted by your own activity. Now, I don't think the psalmist is talking about be still like a stick on the ground, immovable, no emotion, untouched. I don't think that is all what he's talking about. But it's being quiet enough after the storm has come to begin to evaluate what did God just do. Can you imagine the disciples on the boat when he said, peace be still to the storm? The storm was over. They were worried for their life. Now, they were discovering who really was in the boat with them after all. The Son of God. They learned a great lesson in that stillness. And for you this week, I want you to consider taking some time alone with the Lord. Some of the most refreshing times for me is when I can get to a place with no TVs, no phones, no cell phones, no interruptions, even if it's 20 minutes. Look at God's Word and say, Lord, help me know who You are in my life at this moment. What are You trying to teach me? What are you wanting me to see? What are you wanting me to focus on this very week? God went on to say in verse 10, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. But when? When will he be exalted? Will the world all of a sudden notice that God is God? Just because we claim he is? No, I think rather the world around you will notice that he is God when they see God working in your life in a way that's so unusual from the other people that are around you. So for us this week, be still and know that he is God. You see, standing still gives us a time to reason before the Lord, to think, to meditate on his word. And for me, I remember sitting in that hotel room and it was just a stop on the interstate. Mount St. Helens was about a 15-minute drive from there. There was one hotel, one service station, one restaurant. The phones were out. The ice storm had broken the lines. The electricity was out. It was a dark, cold room. The pastor lived 10 miles away. The church was 8 miles away. There was nobody there but me and God. I'll tell you, in those times, you can reflect upon a lot. Now, here's what you're going to have to protect against this week. If you're not careful, you will intentionally stay busy so you don't have to think on your problems. And when you ignore your problems, they become larger. They're not dealt with. In the still times, you need to think about what's going on around you and your family as we've just prayed for one another. Some of you going through struggles that you need to be still and know that he is God in the midst of those times. So this week, take some time, some extended time to be alone with the Lord. Maybe it's just a lunch hour where you go and you get alone. Maybe it's just in the car. You sit there in a parking lot and you take your time to be alone with the Lord. But the key is not to be still so you can rest, but be still. Stop your struggling. Stop your fighting. Stop all this stuff that's going around you and know, reflect upon that he is God, and in the midst of your difficulty, he can help you.